From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell, and my guest could be called the director with the golden arm, but this is only because she did a feature called The Golden Arm. Her newest film as director is The Prank. Marina Baruch is my guest. I can't thank you enough for doing the show, and how are you?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fan, so this means a lot.
It's so interesting, the difference between the two films. There's something that's really interestingly kind of formal about The Prank once it moves into the school, isn't it?
I love genre. So I kind of loved the idea of playing in a different genre, kind of still keeping in that comedy world, but playing with different tropes within thrills and comedy.
Well, let me ask you, for people who haven't seen The Prank yet, and it's a terrific film, by the way, if you can describe for our audience what the movie's about.
So The Prank is about Ben and his best friend, Tanner, who decide to play a prank on their teacher, Mrs. Wheeler, played by Rita Moreno, after she fails the whole class. And they decide to play this prank on her by framing her for a missing student. And they say that she's murdered him on social media.
What was so interesting about the movies, though, is that they are situations that could be played for drama and often would be, and you don't play them for drama.
Here's the thing. I love movies, and I feel like we've seen so many iterations of straight-up comedies or straight-up thrillers that I think that the most exciting thing is kind of this mashup that we've done in The Prank, because I think taking something that can be a little bit ridiculous and playing it for laughs when you can, I think is so exciting. And the idea that, you know, the movie starts off in a comedy world, but there's always this kind of like thread of thriller coming. So we kind of straddled that line. We kind of towed the line between comedy and thriller very carefully. And I think that that was something that I was really proud of, but also it was really challenging.
Marina, I think what's really interesting what you've done in both of these movies is that they're both about people who take themselves very seriously, and all of them are trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of when you're in high school is kind of wrapped up in your identity of Ben in this movie. He thinks he knows who he is. He's like a straight A student. So the idea that he could get an F or not get into college, that kind of throws his whole world out of control. And he's willing to kind of do whatever to kind of get back at Mrs. Wheeler, who's played by Rita Moreno. To me, what was so interesting about the movie as well is that, you know, how far will you go? How far will you go to kind of get revenge or play a silly prank on a teacher? I feel like we've all had those fantasies. So the idea to be able to explore that in this movie in a funny way, and that kind of have it take a turn in the movie into like, well, you know, maybe you've gone too far, I think is really interesting. And something that, I mean, I think, you know, obviously we live in a world right now that is so filled with conspiracy theories, and, you know, you can damage someone's reputation online with a click of a button. It's kind of like a modern day morality tale for the digital age.
And deep fake. And one of my favorite lines in the movie is that boomers are afraid of everything and will believe anything they see online.
Oh, I mean, isn't that the truth? It's so funny. After my mom saw this movie, she was like, can this really happen? And I was like, Mom, that's what the internet is.
Well, what's fun about your movies, and I mean both Golden Arm and this, as I was saying, they're both about, I mean, even in Golden Arm, to some extent, they're characters who are trying to figure out who they are, and because they're kind of showbiz people, and taking themselves very seriously in that too, aren't they?
I mean, that's the thing I love about comedy is I come from UCB and kind of always just grounding yourself and, you know, having one foot planted firmly on the ground. I think you're able to go places. You're able to explore comedy. You're able to go kind of bigger if you have this real grounded base. You know, I think TV is really doing a great job, but I think sometimes in film, comedy has gotten so crazy town, so that I think when you see something that is grounded and real and has truth in it, it feels so refreshing. And, you know, with Golden Arm, it's like Mary Holland and Betsy Sodaro, you know, we really explored them as their friendship. And that movie kind of evolved based on kind of us filming. And as we were making that movie, we're like, oh my gosh, we're finding the movie. Like this movie is about these women and their friendship. And it's a little bit what happened in The Prank. Originally, the movie was written for two boys. And, you know, I was like, I think it was really important to kind of explore the idea of like platonic friendship. That we don't get to see at all in movies, really. And so we kind of had an open call for the Tanner character. And as soon as Ramona Young's tape came in, it was clear. She was the only one. And the idea that like Connor and Ramona kind of got to explore this friendship. I had them make their song. That's how they first kind of got to know each other, by making this song together. It's a really kind of fun, organic thing that I really love to do with the buddies. Maybe that is what it is. It's finding this real organic friendship and having them go on this journey together.
Yeah, well, so much of comedy too, especially high school comedy, is so kind of outre and outrageous, and it feels on some level like sketches. And having in this situation, they're both so real, and that sort of Ben and Tanner kind of like id and super ego, and he sort of thinks these things and then she'll do them. There is a level of sort of unspoken trust in that relationship.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like they know each other so well, and they know how to push each other's buttons. And that's also, I think, why when they do kind of have their fight later in the movie, is that they're like brother and sister. They know exactly what buttons to push to hurt the other one, because they know how the other one will react. And I think that they do kind of rely a little bit on each other to kind of get each other through high school.
I think one of the things that you've proven that you can do so well in these two films is that you have a real gift, I think, for chemistry casting, because the protagonists in both of these movies really feel like there's a long-term relationship without the movie stopping to explain what the relationship is.
Really, casting is everything. I think it's so important to me to find people, one, that are just talented actors. And so, you know, I feel like I've been very lucky in that sense. And the other thing too, is just to kind of explore and to be open to the ideas, what the actors are bringing to the table, because so often Ramona or Connor would pitch something, or Rita would pitch something about their characters. If that shines a light bulb, or that's like a new idea, it's like, that's so exciting. Let's like explore that. Let's find that. And, you know, these weren't movies that we had a long time to shoot. So it's not like we were taking a long time to do that. So I think that's why casting is so important, is when you don't have a lot of time and you do want to kind of build that relationship, I think it is finding people that just instantly connect or can get on the same page quickly.
It's a treatment. We're talking about chemistry casting with my guest, the director of The Prank, Maureen Baruja. And I guess I should ask you too, because in both these movies, there's somebody who's so committed and so serious about a lifestyle choice they've made. In Golden Arm, it's Brenda. And here, it's the teacher, that they throw off everything. And the idea of that person who won't change direction, and we're not quite sure how seriously they take themselves, that's a really interesting idea to explore as kind of a foil for people who are, in the case of these other characters, incredibly neurotic.
You know what? When I think about my family, I come from a kind of a big, crazy family. My mom's like Irish Catholic and my dad's Indian Pakistani Muslim. And so I come from a long line of stubborn women. Both of my grandmothers were very stubborn, which is great, because, you know, I look back on it now and I'm like, oh, people always called them stubborn. And I'm like, oh, you know what? They just like, you know, they are who they are. And they were like, this is me. So maybe there's a thread in all of my characters that are like that, that are my grandmothers.
But that's really interesting, because again, in both these cases, these women who are so committed to this lifestyle and have this kind of unwavering, frightening, calm temperament, this fixation on doing what they think is right. And everybody else is sort of like their grays, but these are characters who live in these worlds that are incredibly black and white, which is such a fascinating idea for comedy. And again, neither of them are kind of turned into archetypes. They're very real people.
And I think that's like really important, right? Is that, you know, you can have these kind of these classic characters, but without making them a trope. And I think that obviously that comes from casting Rita Moreno as Mrs. Wheeler. I mean, Rita is just obviously the pinnacle. She's just incredible and breathes life into a character in a way that was just not on the page. And it was exploring that character with her. But I think that's what made it so interesting for her, is that she's never gotten to play a character like this. And she's never kind of gotten to play, you know, a delicious character that is living this lifestyle and is so committed to this very tough as nails teacher. That's why I think it was even more interesting for her to explore, and she could go deeper and she could bring these layers to it, because it was easy to just understand her logic, even though sometimes it maybe seemed a bit outrageous. Is just giving these people that are committed to this lifestyle a sound logic and a reason. That's the thing. Talking with Rita, making sure that her character always knew that she's in the right. And again, maybe that does go back to my grandmothers, because they were both very religious. So they both were like, I'm right. Very right. Even though, again, growing up in a Muslim Catholic household, it's a very interesting thing to be like, both were very stubborn that they were the correct ones in a loving way.
Well, you're making the movies. And again, I can't wait to see you make that one. But until we get there, this idea, and not this idea, but Rita Moreno's playing Mrs. Weaver as somebody who never raises her voice. She has the confidence of the institution, which is really fascinating.
Again, just seeing Rita, she was my number one. And I've wanted to work with her forever, and obviously such a huge fan. So the fact that she said yes was mind-blowing. And then the idea just to be able to work on this character with her, and that you're right, she is this very calculated, put together. She even said, like, this is the most covered up I've ever been in a movie. So it was even the costuming was to like keep her kind of buttoned up, her gloves, so that when she unravels, you really get to kind of see her fall from that this high, mighty place.
There's also that interesting sort of schism between somebody who is dressed so eccentrically, but the voice doesn't give anything away. And in fact, if we were just to sort of watch a minute of her in class, just from the confidence, you would think that not only is she right, but these kids are silly to not be listening to her. If you told the story from her point of view, as a matter of fact, without giving too much away, you would think, well, what's wrong with these kids? She is right. And she's also teaching physics for this thing, which the laws are inviolate. She is always right, because it's not like English or creative writing class.
You're right. There isn't really a gray in her world. That was another interesting thing that I did change in the script is originally she was a home ec teacher. But when I read the script, I thought, what a great opportunity to have a woman in STEM. Also to kind of have her use her class and her experiments to kind of scare the kids. And so it was a way to kind of scare them into listening. And I feel like, again, we've had those teachers that, or I definitely had it. My teacher was like Mrs. Jordan, who was always so tough on me, and thinking like, that's what children need. I need to be tough on them, and that's how they'll learn. And I think that's such an old way of thinking. So that's why it's kind of fun to put like the new age into this, butting up against this old guard.
We'll take a break. My guest, whose movie has the character describing the Fox News audience, is Maureen Borucha. Her new film is The Prank. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Earn your graduate degree in a flexible online format from University of Southern California and learn from faculty at the top of their fields in areas such as business, health, law, engineering, psychology, communications, and more. Explore your options today at online.usc.edu.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. A bit of a delay, but thrilled to have with me Maureen Borucha, whose new film is The Prank. It's The Treatment, by the way. And I have to say, as long as we're talking about the casting here, perhaps the team up that should have been in the movies forever, but now we finally get a chance to see, involves two of my favorite actors, Keith David and Rita Moreno, both playing against type in really, really wonderful ways.
Seeing Keith and Rita on set together were my favorite days. It's like watching two masters at work. So to be able to kind of get in with them and talk about character and talk about their scenes, their two kind of scenes that play kind of opposite each other was so fun. They're so excited to kind of one up the other one in real life acting and then also in the movie.
But it's also funny, too, because they're both playing in their way such incredibly vain characters, but their vanity comes across in very different ways, doesn't it?
Yeah. And kind of what you're saying about playing against type, I think as a director, that's what's so exciting is the principle, again, was kind of written different on paper. But as soon as Keith kind of came into the mix, you're like, oh, like this is going to be such a different character. And it was again, like kind of talking with him and with Rita and them coming up with their chemistry. You know, he was like, oh, I love it if, you know, she kind of gets under my skin and I get under her skin. And it just kind of changed the dynamic, and it made it a more unique principal character, which I feel like, again, we've seen a lot of the kind of principals that are meek and mild, but Keith just brings a presence. And then, you know, Rita kind of playing against her type, it was like gangbusters.
And it's too, and I also have two people like that who have such long stage careers. So they bring a wealth of experience, and just being able to do things, not only with a line, but with a pause, with a silence. I mean, the kind of the showdown in his office when he's trying to offer her, make this offer of generosity, and trying to be polite with the kind of the war over the root beer barrels is maybe one of my favorite scenes in movies this year.
Oh my God. I mean, Keith just with an eyebrow raise says it all. I mean, I feel like in that scene, just the smugness that he knows he has won over on her is incredible. Again, you know, I'm such a fan, been a fan since The Thing is one of my favorite movies from being a kid. And obviously he has such, you know, he has such a large Rolodex of movies that are incredible. So for him to get, kind of play something that you haven't seen before, again, was so exciting. And there was so much that could be said without words. And that's what was so exciting about seeing them together in a scene.
It's so funny that you mentioned The Thing, because in some ways this movie reminds me of that, in that what do you trust and what do you believe and what information is right? And this idea of information being the disease and the infection rather than the disease and the thing. I mean, really, you can kind of see the line that connects the two of them, can't you?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you said that. I mean, obviously The Thing is one of my favorite, like I said, one of my favorite movies. There's some sprinkles of The Thing in here. I mean, other movies that kind of, is that same kind of like, who can you trust? It's like, you know, a bunch of Hitchcock movies like Shadow of a Doubt, or even like Lifeboat. And then there's like a little sprinkling of like All About Eve. They're just nods to movies that I love. And I love that you have that, you see that through line.
There's this sort of line of connection that brings Golden Arm and The Prank and into the same lines, that they're all about how can you trust somebody else if you really don't trust yourself. And in both movies, we learn about a motive from a character we think we knew that turns out we didn't know as well as we thought we did.
Again, I'm such a fan of movies, and the idea, like in Golden Arm and in The Prank, that we get to kind of see, I think, again, you don't get to see it a lot, is women kind of being these really multi-layered, complicated, messy characters. You know, whether it's Ramona Young's Tanner's messy room, I'm kind of a slob, so I love the idea of like seeing kind of messy girls, which you don't get to see ever. And the same thing in Golden Arm, I think Betsy Sodaro is such a unique character that you've never gotten to see a woman play, and so it's just like an added bonus to be able to add these complicated messy women to you know, cinema history.
In both these cases, if you can't trust yourself, and by the end we find out why these characters don't trust themselves, because they're not being honest with themselves or with those who are close to them. I just think this, making that kind of the kernel of the what moves these movies, is really interesting.
Again, I guess ultimately, like, both of these movies is kind of about finding yourself and being true to who you are, and then kind of uncovering what's true about other people. Because I think like the more you can be truthful with yourself is when you actually learn about others as well. And like you were saying, that so much of the comedy does come from the paranoia of being afraid. So what do you hide when you're afraid?
But also too, weirdly, in both these arenas, both the world of arm wrestling, which Golden Arm is about, and The Prank, there's something kind of performative about both these worlds. A lot of these, in the case of the kids, they're kind of showboating to some extent. And Ben and Tanner kind of take some pride in not being a part of that. Although I think they both wanted to be seen for something, and the world and performance and being seen and having persona is definitely a big part of Golden Arm. And that idea of somebody trying to put across an image of themselves that isn't true is seems to be kind of key for you in the way you think about these things, isn't it?
I feel like it's so funny. So often you're like, oh, it was like high school, or so many times in my life, I'm like, it's like high school. It's like, I'm like, you know what? Maybe that is just what life is. Life is like putting on a persona each stage of your life till you figure out actually who you are, which one is the one. And maybe it is like the comedy of errors, being like, you know, so much of it is, I think, is the fear of life, of people finding out who you really are. And so with Golden Arm and with The Prank, like you're saying, it's posturing, like with Tanner being like, I don't care about the world. And it's like, more she's just afraid that she's gonna fail. And so if I say I don't care, then I'm protected, but really I do. And I'm really smart. And I think that that is really interesting. And But I think you're right. I think it's this idea of putting on the persona of who you want people to think you are, and you're afraid they're going to find out that you're a faker or that you're not who you say you are.
It's the treatment. We're talking about identity with my guest, Maureen Borrucha, whose new film is The Prank. And I think part of that, too, though, I mean, we have to believe what these people are playing. They can't just be playing it for comedy. There's got to be at least an honesty in performance, because, again, also both these movies are about pecking order and that kind of paranoia getting deeper as we go further and further down the pecking order.
I think the best comedians have such a vulnerability to them that when you can bring that out in a comedian, I think it feels so authentic. And one thing that I really love about comedies in particular, and that I find in the comedies that I gravitate toward, is that when people are watching dramas, they know what they're going to get, right? Or they're expecting to laugh, to cry, they're expecting to be moved. When you're watching a comedy, you're kind of more open. You're more open for laughs. So that when something that feels more authentic and real can touch you deeper inside. And so it's almost surprising. So not only are you more open for the feelings, but you're more open for the laugh and then the surprise of something real. You know, and in reality, in real life, people kind of avoid that. So it goes back to comedy. So I think that that's what's so fun about The Prank, is that it is straddling that line of what I feel, but comedy does the best. And what I love about comedy, it's surprising you and just touching you deep inside when you're least expecting it. And that comes from great comedians that are able to show their most vulnerable side.
But also for us as audiences, I think it's the fun of the new, getting to see actors like Mary Holland and Betsy Sidora you're talking about in Golden Arm, then seeing O'Connor and Ramona here in The Prank. It's really, as an audience, a thrill, because we get to be surprised watching these characters figure themselves out, and then also get lost in the fact that they're really ace performers as well.
That's what I think is so exciting, and what I love about movies, that it really is a team sport. And when everybody kind of feels like they own a piece of the movie, whether it's the actors or, you know, the crew, I think it just makes things come alive more and people get more excited and you're just trying more things. And so I think that that is what I love about movies, and what I think is so fun about The Prank is that everybody kind of contributed to their character or even added, you know, to other characters. Like Kate Flannery as the lunch lady was so great. She had so many fun pitches. And the thing is, like, you don't hire great comedians and great actors like Ron Funches, Betsy Sidaro, and Ahmed Borrucha and not expect them to bring something new and to listen if they have great ideas.
Well, God, I mean, it's that what you're saying too, but people get a chance to shine because, you know, we just get to spend a few minutes with John Kimmel and Kate Flannery just in the parking lot, maybe talking about nothing, and then that turns into something else. And that's just this thing that you do, which is to create a world. So in doing that, you can't really emphasize or overemphasize the leads, because then when they're not on the screen, we miss them. And by that point, we're so interested in what's happening in the rest of that city that it's good to see the lunch lady and the janitor, both of whom were sort of these kind of socialist complainers.
Yeah. I think the unsung heroes of the movie too are Baron Vaughn and Lauren Canutti, who play the reporter and the newscaster. I feel like their color commentary through it is some of my favorite stuff in the movie, because it's buried. And so it got some of the biggest laughs in the theater, because it was like when you thought the scene was done, they would throw in a joke or they'd say something funny. And the idea that everybody in this town has had Mrs. Wheeler, so they all think that she deserves being kind of framed for murder.
Well, you're just talking about the reporter who would suggest or highly recommend for people watching the movie to watch the end credits, because he gets a great bit over the end credits.
Yes. And Baron came in. And again, there was some short stuff scripted. I tossed him ideas and he just came up with some incredible improv. And I just tried to jam pack the movie full of all of the funny stuff he said. He kind of did, you know, just a solid and kind of came in, and I think really it's some of my favorite stuff. It kind of was like, again, a nod to, I love in Willy Wonka that news reporter kind of tells the story in Willy Wonka. And so I was like, oh, I want him to kind of be this character that if you watch the movie, you're like, what's up with this guy's life? Like, he's really funny.
Well, but is that one of the things you like doing these two films too, that in effect, they're both in such small worlds that everybody, if they don't know each other, they know of each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's sometimes what can be so fun about, like you're saying, like a, you know, a smaller world, is that to make it so rich and feel like a bigger world, it doesn't necessarily have to be bigger in scope, but just bigger in kind of the network and the tangibility of textures and people that live in the space, that it feels like real spaces that people live in and that you would know. And it's like, maybe it's not your hometown, but you can imagine a hometown that would be like this.
So interesting, because as you, again, in addition to thinking about The Thing and, of course, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I did find myself thinking about Shadow of a Doubt and also Rear Window. I mean, the world gets smaller and smaller as the movie goes on in both of these cases, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there's even, I mean, there was like a little nod to Vertigo as well, like some of the following when Ben follows Mrs. Wheeler. And even like a movie like To Die For, that was another movie that kind of, I think, did such a great job of like what's happening on the TV and what's happening in this high school. There's so many great movies to me that I love and that I just, you know, it's so great to give a nod to, because that's what's great about those movies, right? If you're older, you would catch those comparisons. There's also a nod to Silence of the Lambs in here, a sequence. But if you're young, you're like, oh, that's cool. And you're like, yeah, if you're older, you know the reference. And if you're young, you just think it's like fun and fresh.
Dealing with these platonic friendships in both Golden Arm, but more specifically here in The Prank, and this idea that even though it's what we see in movies about high school, it still rings mostly true that kids may be thinking about sex, but they're not trying to have sex with everybody they know. And it felt like a real breath of fresh air to see kids with concerns just trying to get through a day, which is a big part of what goes on in The Prank, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's so important to, again, even with indie movies, is to kind of move the needle when you can. And again, a person like, I did film studies growing up. I was such a movie fan. It's kind of really weird to think like, oh, there aren't that many platonic best friends through movie history. And so I think the more we can see that on film and make it normalized, it's like, yeah, I have so many guy friends. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I want to see those friendships kind of blossom. And you just get more layers and different iterations. And, you know, that's what it feels fresh. You can see the same movie that we've seen a million times, but if you kind of put new people and new perspectives into those situations, instantly you have a fresh take or just a new angle on something that we've seen before. So that's what I think is really exciting. And whenever I can, I like to try to do that, is to kind of move the needle, even in a small way, just to kind of normalize, again, a messy girl or a platonic best friend.
Well, it's also interesting too, because, you know, to see the perspective that a female director bringing in and flipping tropes, as you've done in these two films, the high school film and the sports film, just sort of saying, well, you think this is what this is, and maybe it is what it is for a moment, but then let's pay attention to everybody in this, not just make this about these archetypal, stereotypical concerns.
Yeah. And that was also another thing that we did, or was really important to me with the music, is that, you know, on surface, you'd be like, this is a high school movie. You know, it's like a comedy thriller. So we could play it safe. We could play it kind of how you heard it before. But our composer, Darren Johnson, who's just incredible, we had a live 18-string orchestra do the score. So, you know, when I was like, I want like There Will Be Blood, I want like Vertigo, like I wanted the really dramatic, real orchestra feel, because I feel like you've never gotten to see that in a high school movie. And it kind of added an extra layer just with the sound, which is so important. And I think when you watch the movie, especially in a theater, you can feel it in your gut. And that was what's so exciting.
Well, we're out of time, and you have to get back to making a movie in Germany. So Maureen, thank you so much for doing this. I can't thank you enough.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. Again, I could talk movies all night long.
And so could I, but apparently you probably have to go to sleep at some point. My guest is Maureen Baruccia's new film, terrific new film as director, is The Prank. Our production staff includes Desmond Taylor. The show is edited and produced by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everyone. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.